Hello and welcome to the First and Ten podcast. We are really ramping up our draft coverage now. Not long to go until the 2024 NFL draft. Today we're going to do our first and possibly only, we'll see how it goes, mock draft. Joining me for that, we've got Ash. How are you, mate?
I'm really good. Thanks, bud. Looking forward to this one. This one should be quite interesting. Obviously, no trades will make it a little bit more like stick and pick. So, but definitely be it would be good to see really what these teams really do need in this draft.
Yeah, I say the most accurate drafts are, mock drafts are always going to be ones of trades in, but I mean it gets so complicated, doesn't it? And yeah, no, it takes a bit
Still
more
doesn't
prep.
defer. It still doesn't defer away from what the team actually needs. So.
No, and you're going to have your own mock draft coming out. People will be able to find that on Twitter and stuff. I'm sure you'll be sharing that plenty.
Yeah,
So you know,
sure.
we'll where can people find it? I'll do it now. Where can people find that?
You'll be
Where can people
finding
find you?
it. There'll be it'll be on X. I'll probably put some links up on X at Tills and
Yeah.
9.99s, but I'm sure you guys will be sharing it. The
Yeah, of
guys at
course.
Touchdown will be sharing it as well. So yeah,
Yeah. I'm sure
it'll
there's
be
going to be
online
plenty of trades in that
hopefully
one, is
by
there?
end 6 or 7 in the first round.
Yeah, so
So
there's
I'll do
quite
a
a few.
top 50 mock. So yeah, it's quite interesting. Like. There's obviously a few teams that are potential trade out candidates, etc., which we'll talk on in this coming draft that me and you are doing. But it's always hard to nail down trades anyway. So it's like one of
Yeah.
them where you're just speculating, shall we say.
And the hard thing on some of these mock drafts, you can sit there for hours and hours and hours and hours doing them, and then 2 days before the draft, the Cardinals decide to trade out, and the whole thing's completely gone, isn't it? So,
Completely gone.
you know, it's that could be tough. That could be tough work, but we'll get straight into it. We're going to take turns picking. We have sort of already traded picks, so we're making sure we're picking our own teams. You're going to pick at five for Chargers. I'm going to swap it for six for the Giants, but I'm going to pick the odds. You're going to pick the evens. I'll get the easy start. Number one with the Bears, it's Caleb Williams. I mean, I don't really see any other route here. I think there's a little bit of, for a little bit of time that maybe, oh, maybe they're not quite in, but that's all died down, and I think they could make the pick now. But I think for me, the clear number one quarterback, I think it's just an easy pick. And yeah, the Bears will be, well, they won't be running up there, but they've probably already got that card filled in, and you know, they can just wait until 9 minutes or whatever it is, and then put it in. But yeah, Caleb Williams to the Bears. And then I think we can just get onto the more interesting stuff with you at Washington at number two.
I mean, obviously, this isn't what I would do. This is obviously mock, so like
Yeah.
what we're hearing and bits
Yeah.
and pieces, but
And I think that's
obviously,
always the best way to do these, isn't it? What we think will happen rather than what we would do, because I think if we were doing it, it'd be a very, very different looking draft.
for sure. So, but obviously, Washington. They mean obviously this carousel of who they're going to all these quarterbacks that they brought in. And if obviously with the betting market, I do still think it is Jaden Daniels. Obviously, there is talk that there is other guys that they have looked at, but I would say Jaden Daniels is like a 50% favorite, which I'm going with. Jaden Daniels has picked two. Drake May is the 25%, and JJ McCarthy is the other 25%. So it is one of them ones where I just think Jaden Daniels has just got the edge at the moment in the betting market, and I think that's probably where they will go.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Say that so there's been a little bit of smoke this week that he's not happy with the Commanders and all that, but I think that dies down by draft down. I think it's all fine. I don't think it matters for Commanders if he likes them that much or not. They're going to draft him. I don't think we're in the age where these players hold out like they used to, are they really? I think if they pick him, he's playing there. Right, number three for the Patriots. I mean, this is very much one of them where what I would do versus what I think they'll do is very different. Yeah, there's been a little bit of smoke about trading out, but I just do not see it. To me, there's only two options though. If it's either take Drake May or trade out. I think any other option is just not great with this third pick. But yeah, I think they will be picking Drake May, and that's who I'll take. But yeah, I think the only other option would be to trade down. But I think they're just going to take whoever is left out of Daniels or May at this spot. And you know, new regime, new everything. I don't think. You know, realistically, Brissett is going to be the quarterback. It maybe he'll start the season, but I don't think it'll last too long. I think we've seen it before with him that he's fine, but he's not great, and he'll quickly get taken out the team for that rookie quarterback, whoever that may be. But I think it's going to be May if Daniels goes for second, and I think it will be May at number three.
I mean, they don't pick this high this often. So, I mean, you can
Yeah.
definitely see them than doing that. I mean, the one thing that I just struggle with New England is just, sorry to dig your team, but how bad the roster is in regards to,
Yeah,
it's
it's
like if
awful.
you're dropping a quarterback into that environment, I mean, that is a tough gig for that quarterback, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, if people are Drake May fans, I think they would be a little bit concerned with how little support he's got around him, really. Like, the O-line's not great and the wide receivers aren't great, so that would be one that I would be slightly worried with Drake May. But I think he's got all the attributes to be able to be an elite quarterback
I think the only thing
going.
on the other side of that is that, I don't think we'd have said that Stroud was going into an incredible situation last year, and then he
True.
did turn some of them
100%.
wide receivers into better players himself and stuff like that. But I mean, I do agree with you overall that, it's not a great situation. And to be honest, the fun pick here probably is Marvin Harrison, really, but it's never, ever, ever going to happen. But it would be probably more fun than anything else. But Harrison now and then just get a quarterback next year. But yeah, I think it's quarterback at three,
Do you
really.
think Joe Alt could have been a choice for you guys?
I just, as I say, I think at three, I think there's, if the Patriots aren't taking May, I think there'll be too many teams interested in that pick to not trade out. That's the thing. I think if it's not May, I think at the very least they're going to be trading down to like six maybe, and the Giants might come up and take May themselves, or somebody else out there might take May, because for me, May is like a whole level above McCarthy. I think there's a real drop off after May. I mean, for me, including Daniels, I think May is above him. But to me, it's either quarterback or trade out. But I think it's not that I think Alt would be a bad pick or anything. I just think that with the value of that pick, if you're not taking a quarterback, then it has to be a trade. But the Patriots have done some weird things over the years. But it's a different regime, and hopefully we're going to do some more conventional stuff now.
Did you want to take the next? Do you want to take this one? I'll take the next two, and then you go back. So I'll cover the charges. So you do
Yeah.
two, and then we'll go back to odds and evens.
Yeah, it's good for me. I mean, this is a pick that is absolutely all over the place, I think. It's very much a position, a draft sort of pick that is up for grabs. I don't know if we actually see that come draft night. I think, quite often there's a lot of talk that, oh, they're going to trade up. And I think we mentioned it, or you mentioned it in the last podcast, or maybe the one before, that, our team's really going to trade up to number four for, I mean, it's going to be for McCarthy, isn't it? If he's going to be the one that it's going to be. But who is going to actually make that move? And the only one that makes any sense is the Giants, isn't it, really? But for me, I think this is where Marvin Harrison comes off the board, a number four. They need a little bit of help there, I think. It's not they've got bad players, but they have lost some players. And I think Marvin Harrison there to, they seem to be like set on Kyler Murray now. There's a bit of talk last year that maybe in the season he could move on when he was not playing. But I think Kyler Murray is the future there, and go out and get some help. And it's hard to get much better help than Marvin Harrison Jr. At pick number four for the Cardinals.
Right, charges for me. Like, I think that you don't release Keenan Allen, or trade Keenan Allen and release Mike Williams if you're not gonna look at wide receiver. I know there's been a lot of talk of tackle, which it's not a bad pick if they did take someone like Joe Alt here at all. But I just think that I think there was a definitive plan of what they did. Like, they kept the edge rushers in Joey Bosa and Mac around, and they didn't keep the wide receivers. Why did they not keep the wide receivers for? I think it's because the top of the draft is so rich in wide receiver help that they can get that. So they don't really need a left tackle. Rashawn Slater is one of the better prospects in the league. So you're looking at Joe Alt and sticking him on the right hand side, which do you really want to do that? So I really like these other two guys anyway. They're right up there. Marvin Harrison is the one, but there is, for me, there is that thing where these two are quite close. Neighbors has that explosiveness more so from the slot, which obviously a vertical threat for Herbert would be awesome. His uncle was Gabe Neighbors, who roomed with Justin Herbert as well in his rookie year. So there is ties there. I don't know if anyone's heard about the Brisket Boys, but that's what they used to be called. But I'm going to go for the truer X receiver, and I think he's more of a Jim Harbaugh sort of player, turned up at the combine, did everything when Neighbors and Marvin Harrison didn't. All of his interviews have been class, absolutely class. He's got that work ethic. He's got that dog in him. He's got all the intangibles. And I think he's more of a truer X than Neighbors. So I'm going to take Roma Dunze, and I think that's who Jim Harbaugh would prefer out of the two.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Neighbors is my... I prefer him, but yeah, I agree with you. This is just...
There's not much in it. I mean, to be honest, like I probably, as a fantasy ranking, I probably have it the other way around, maybe, like in some regards. I think Neighbors gives you that more of that like explosiveness and stuff, like them big time fantasy performances. But I just think that you have that feeling around the league that the league absolutely loves Roma Dunze. So it wouldn't shock me if Roma Dunze goes before Malik Neighbors in the draft.
Yeah, I think that's a totally fair pick. I mean, you're at number six for the Giants. I mean, this is a place that could go so many different ways, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm the Giants, we touched on it on another podcast that you can have all the wide receivers in the world, but if you've got no one throwing you the ball, then what's the point of having wide receivers? So I'm going to take JJ McCarthy with pick six. I think that's more, you've been hearing that the Giants have been doing a lot of research on these guys. On these quarterbacks. And I think that probably Neighbors is the better player in regards to a big board. But just with what you're hearing at the moment, it looks really strong possibility that the New York Giants are in on a quarterback. And could they take one at pick six again, like they did with Daniel Jones?
Yeah. I mean, it feels like this pick at number six, either a massive vote of confidence in Daniel Jones or a massive sort of but against it, isn't it? It's I think it's pretty clear where Daniel Jones' career is headed once this pick goes in on Thursday night. It's I think there's too much smoke around them looking at quarterbacks, isn't there, for this not to go this way. So it's me back at number seven for the Titans. I mean, this feels like a pretty easy pick, doesn't it? I mean, I don't really know who else they'd even go for other than Joe Alt at number seven, to be honest. You know, Will Levis there, second year now. Assuming they do like him, I'm not a big Levis guy, but assuming they do like him.
They seem all in on him, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is just an easy pick. I'm not even going to think too much about it. Joel, the best tackle in the draft. So go back and listen to our tackle, well, trenches podcast, we called it, didn't we? Go back and listen to that if you want to hear a bit more detail about him and why he will be the first tackle off the board, sorry. But Joel at number seven, quite an easy pick.
Number eight, I'll follow the consensus. In Gals, like you said, we're talking about what we think might happen rather than what we would do. For me, he wouldn't be the edge I would take, but I do think that it's with the betting market and all the mocks like Schrager's mock and Daniel Jeremiah's and a few other guys, this looks like it's near on guaranteed that Dallas Turner is the guy that they want to take. So Dallas Turner for me, for the Falcons at eight.
That's going to happen. I mean, nine, this is another one of those ones where I think it could go a few different ways. But to me, I always love pairing up a quarterback and a rookie wide receiver when you can do it. Yeah. You know, we've seen it a few times over the years and stuff, and I always love it.
Yeah.
Neighbors at nine, to me, feels like an absolute steal of a pick.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, I know they've done some stuff at wide receiver, but I just think the value there, you know, getting with Williams, they're just the future there. And at nine, I just couldn't pass on Neighbors if he was still there for the Bears, I don't think. So I could see him going other ways, but to me, this is just the way you go, because he is just so good. And you just go in and instantly he's going into an incredible situation, Caleb Williams said, isn't he, with you know, the wide receivers they brought in and him. It's just fantastic for him. So easy pick for me at nine.
And Keenan Allen's on his last, even though they traded for him, he's on that last year. And I think DJ Moore's only got, I think he's the year after that, so they're gonna have to pay him, so they might want to get some fresh blood in anyway. So
that'd be one hell of a group, wouldn't it? That free for a rookie quarterback to come in, you know, sometimes number one picks under the best situations, but that'd be unbelievable.
I don't quite know what to do here really for the Jets, whether to go Brock Bowers or someone like Troy Fertano or Fuaga, but I'm going to go Brock Bowers. I think there's been a lot more love at the moment for him to be pushing up to be that a top 10 prospect in this draft. There's been more sort of like smoke around that, so I'm going to go with Brock Bowers here at 10, and I think that it would be a bit like it kind of kills two birds with one stone, and you're kind of your sixth lineman and also an absolute yards after catch weapon, so a good duck sort of tandem with Garrett Wilson as well. So I'm going to go Bowers here at 10.
Yeah, I mean that Jets pick is an interesting one because it's definitely someone that's a spot that they could trade back, I think, and try and
Yeah,
accumulate
100%. They
some
haven't got a
picks.
second round pick. Yeah, they haven't got a second round pick, but they are definitely in with a shout of doing that for sure.
And there's some good players on this board still. The Vikings, they're a weird one because obviously they need a quarterback, and they're definitely someone who is, potentially going to be in the trade up market. But if it falls how it has, I just don't know where they go. It's because it's I just can't see them taking, Knicks or Penix or if it may be whoever they fancy out of that next couple. So you're probably looking at, I don't know what their next biggest need is. Like they sort of need a little bit of everything, don't they, really?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably say that they would go defense. Like that is they lost Yanal Hunter on the edge, and they've been crying out for a corner for a little while. So it would be between those two premium positions. The other player that may be involved in that conversation would be Brian Murphy as well. Like, as I mean, I'm pretty sure they're starting Jerry Tillery at defensive tackle at the moment, so that's pretty scary, I would say. So edge, defensive tackle, corner, that's kind of where they would be if they do stick and pick at 11, I would say, if the ball trace out like it is.
It just sort of feels like, well, it seems unlikely they're going to pick at 11 one way or another. I don't know why. It feels like they would trade up, or I don't know. It feels like something's going to happen. But yeah, for now, I think I'm going to go Mitchell, cornerback. I think that's. He's just so good. We spoke about him on the last podcast. He's such a good player. He's great and tested great. All them things that just feel like someone who's gonna start going here. And it feels like this is the time for them to start coming off the board, doesn't it? The corners really. It feels like this is where it begins. Maybe not this one, but in the not too distant future, if it's not the Vikings.
Broncos. I really feel like the Broncos are going to trade down, like really badly trade down. So they haven't got a lot of picks, haven't got a lot of draft capital. So, and their roster is on a complete, they need a complete overhaul with some of their positions. So it's going to be tough to pick it and stick and pick at 12 in regards to what they need. I think that they come away with Bo Nix, but do you take him here at 12 and say that's where they're going to take him? If the board stays like this and they can't move down, I mean, they do still need some other positions. And it wouldn't shock me if they went for, in this situation, they went for an. They probably, I mean, could do with Byron Murphy, but I think the R2 would be good. I'm gonna go for Brian Murphy out of Texas. I think that the there's a lot of thingy going on at the moment that he's potentially a top 10 prospect. The tape is outstanding. The intangibles are outstanding. Denver, they've always been one of them ones where a stout interior line, defensive line, and I think that this kind of brings that back towards what Peyton and this the identity of the Denver Broncos. I think it would be a rock solid pick at 12. I think you've got a absolute stud defensive tackle.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, the Raiders, another one. They sort of feel in play for a quarterback, but 13 just does not feel the place to do it. I just don't see them going forward if O'Connell, but I also don't really know how they don't go forward with him the way it's sort of shaken out. I just don't know unless they do something. And as you mentioned in our last podcast, they're probably not going to do it. Just because, it's just not what the GM's going to do there, is it? I don't know where they go here. Because I don't feel like I've got any faith in O'Connell. So it's not like I can see him going, oh, we're going to try and build around him. But I think you're just building for whoever is there. And Maybe this is. I mean, could they go tackle? I think they probably go tackle.
They would need a right tackle. I think it's corner or right tackle, personally.
Yeah, I think that's where it is. So they just feels like picking at 13 for them is just bad. It feels like they should either trade up or down. It just feels like a spot where they sort of got lots of needs. So, and I'm not sure, like, don't get me wrong, there's some good players here still available. But Waga, however you say his name, I think that's
Yeah,
where I'm going here.
yeah, he rocks a little bit. Great
Yeah, I
pick.
mean, he's a good pick there at 13. I just feel like they've got lots of needs, and it just 13's just a weird spot for them to fill them. I feel like, a trade back to like the 20s and then pick one of them quarterbacks feels like the sort of thing they should do, but I don't know. I don't know if it happens or not.
Saints.
Another one.
Do you go right side or just, I mean, to be honest, I think that in this situation, it would be either for Tanu or for Shanu. They need to tackle badly. Like Ramczyk's health's really bad. Penning is just god awful. Like, I don't think he's very good at all. I think he's going to be a bust. Probably if you were just going to say, who's the better tackle prospect? I would probably say for Shanu. So we'll go for Shanu out of Penn State, even though that they might, for that to happen, for Shanu would definitely slot in straight away on the left-hand side. And then I think then the decision is if Ramczyk's healthy, they can play Ramczyk because he's a better player than Penning. But if his health is deteriorates, then you can play Penning and move him to the right-hand side, and hopefully that works out better for him.
Yeah, I like that pick there. I feel like if you're not sure, just go and tackle is never the worst idea in the world, is
It's
it?
going to
It's
be, it'll be a great idea in this draft, eh?
yeah, there's some good ones in there. The Colts, I feel like this could be the place where the second corner comes off the board. Well, maybe it could already happen, but yeah, I think Arnold here for the Colts. I think they need it. I think, it feels like a good pick there for them. Yeah, I think that's where they go. Arnold at what were we at? Pick 15. God, rattling through this draft.
Pick 16. I am going to take Ryan Grubbs's tackle out of Washington. Now he's the offensive coordinator for the Seahawks. I'm going to take Troy Fulton-u. I think that they can slot him in as a left guard straight away, and I think that's where he will make his money. Kind of reminds me a little bit like of a Zach Martin sort of player. So I think that he'll be a very good pro for that team. I think they know what to do with him because obviously the connections with Ryan Grubbs there. So it's an easy connection, for sure.
Yeah, nice. The Jags, it just feels to me like this is where, the next wide receiver start going. Trevor Lawrence, I don't know, I think the jury's still out on his NFL career so far. To me, he's not. I loved him coming out. I mean, it's not going out on a limb, is it, say you love Trevor Lawrence coming out, but I just thought he was absolute slam dunk, can't miss. It's gonna happen. And it just hasn't happened other than about a 4 or 5 week spell so far. He just hasn't done anything particularly special. I think, he doesn't seem to be particularly raising their level, but I think the Jags aren't looking like they're going to turn away from anytime soon. So I think they just go out and get some help. It's just where they go. But to me, I think the best of this next bunch is Brian Thomas. I think he'll fit quite nicely in there. I think Brian Thomas is my pick for the Jags, but it just feels like they're going to do something to help out Trevor Lawrence one way or another. But yeah, Brian Thomas for me.
Nice. Bengals. I think this is again, it's going to come down to, I mean, there's talk that they need defensive tackle. I think it's maybe a little bit early for Newton. I mean, he's a very good prospect, but with the depth at D tackle, is it better later? JC Latham screams Bengals. So he's a very strong possibility. Another guy that I think, like with the Bengals, I know, I mean, what they've been like in regards to the owner is really, really hands-on in this franchise. So would, and we've already seen that tackle versus wide receiver debate, haven't we, where we saw Chase go above? They took him over Penei Sewell. Do you think that could be a case again? So could we see another wide receiver go here with obviously the news about T. Higgins? So let's mix this up a bit and say that that's what happens and that's where the smoke's going. And let's say that they go after another speedster and they go after Xavier Worthy.
I'm trying to find him on this board now. I'm just asking. God knows where he's ranked on this mock drafting. There he is. Yeah, there he is. Got him. I mean, there's lots of teams here. I think just so uncertain, which I don't remember at this stage of the draft having less of an idea about where these teams
are. Yeah, where
go.
They're going to go. Yeah.
And another one is the Rams. Obviously, got some big shoes to fill on the defensive line in particular, but not sure this is where they do it, but I think they might go that side of the ball. There's a little bit of smoke about them with a quarterback, isn't there? But I don't know. I just don't really see it. Matt Stafford isn't an issue, and he's still not. He's not old, is he? He's not young, but he's not. You know, he's still got plenty in him, I think. So I just don't see, especially in the first round, going for one of these other quarterbacks. Maybe later on they'll get someone, but to me, I think this is Edge and Latu for me. From UCLA, I think this is where they go. I think they could go a lot of different routes again, but to me, I think he's the player that sort of stands out to me there. And I think at 19, he's a pretty good value pick there.
Yeah, nice. Steelers. This scenario, I think JC Latham's the pick for me. JC Latham out of Alabama. I think that they need that right tackle solidified with Russell Wilson there. They can move Broderick Jones onto the left, which I think he's more suited to. I think JC Latham would be the pick here. They do need wide receiver, 100%. But I think with the depth of this class, I think that they might go tackle wide receiver in that order in this class. I think they could go, they'll go tackle in round one, and then they'll address the wide receiver in round two.
Yeah, and I think we've seen them in the past. They've done very well picking these wide receivers a bit later, haven't they? They don't necessarily need to get, they seem to do a good job of evaluating wide receivers and finding people that can, you know, do some work without necessarily needing to spend high picks on them. The Dolphins, it feels like you've got to just, I don't think they're going wide receiver or anything. I don't think they're going there, but I do think they're going to get Tua some help. Yeah, I think this might be Barton. I think he might go here. I feel like this is
great,
shore up that inside for them a bit.
Yeah, being awesome.
Yeah, I think he'll do well there. I think this is the route they go. I think you've got to try and just do everything you can to help Tua. You know, he's shown plenty enough for you to be all in him, I think, if you're the Dolphins. And with, you know, Tyreek Hill probably not going to have like loads left in him. I'm not saying he's like on the verge of retirement, but he's probably not going to be what more than 3 years probably at the top now, if that. And that, you know, that's if everything goes fine, it doesn't start getting some injuries and stuff. So I think now's the time, and I think this is a sort of pick that can, you know, it's not necessarily flashy, but I think it'll make a big difference to that team.
100%. I think that'd be a great pick. If he's there, I think that's a no-brainer, I think, for Miami for sure.
Yeah.
Eagles. I'm going to go for... But I think that if they're going to go back to the same shop that they always shop in. And we're going to go back to Georgia for Amarius Mims tackle. I think that they can, this is the sort of team, if Mims could go to the Eagles, that's the sort of team I think that would really get the most out of him. Like, they've always done amazing work with offensive line. It's an established offensive line. They've got leaders in that building, and they can just sit Mims for this year behind Lane Johnson, see how that progresses, and then move him in when Lane Johnson calls it a day. Because, I mean, he is on the back end of it, picking up more injuries now, so I think that'll work out quite well for the Eagles.
Yeah, that's a good pick there. The Vikings. Pick 23. This is, again, it makes such a difference what they do at 11. I went corner there for them before. It just still feels too early for a quarterback, doesn't it? I don't know. Like, it feels like they can't come out of this draft with...
If they don't come out of this pick with quarterback, then they haven't got one in round two. They haven't got one in round three. So
It's almost
it's
got
like
to, I said it's got to be,
you
hasn't
either
it?
you've
Like,
got you
or you
either
trade back
you're,
or you take one.
yeah, you either trade up and take the guy you really want, or you definitely keep sticking and picking and taking one of them at 23, whoever's
Who have they got
left.
there? Is it Darnold? Did they pick up? I can't figure. They've,
Yeah,
it is
they got
Darnold, isn't
Donald.
it? Like, I
Yeah.
can't see them going in through this season with Sam Darnold
Yeah.
a quarterback all year, but 23 just feels so rich for these quarterbacks that are still
Yeah.
available. I mean, I think I spoke about on our quarterback like preview that we did that I just don't like the quarterbacks where they're going. I like some of them in general, but I just don't like where they're going. But maybe this is another one where they say you just have to do it. And for me, it's Penix Jr. who is the next best player really for them. I guess I'll go for it at 23. If this is how it falls, then I just don't know how they can not take a quarterback, even though it doesn't feel like they should.
Dallas. They said they were all in, apparently, and they've done nothing to prove that. So I'm gonna go, they go all in and they take a wide receiver. So I'm gonna let them take Adonai Mitchell from Texas. I think he could be the running mate to CeeDee Lamb, take over from that Gallup role, and then them to be the tandem like the Chase and Higgins, the Adonai Mitchell and CeeDee Lamb of the two. I think that will work out quite well.
Feels like the fun pick as well, doesn't it? It feels like
Yeah.
that bit. That's the one, because I mean, we see a lot of Dallas, don't we? So it's fun. If they're fun, it's fun. I don't really care if they're good, but if they're fun, it's good. So yeah, that'd be a fun pick. The Packers. I mean, the way Jordan Love finished the season, I think they are all in on him, aren't they? So they've got a few needs, but to me, I think maybe we see them do something to help him out. I don't necessarily think receivers. They've got a lot of young wide receivers, haven't they? That, you know, I don't know whether necessarily you like pick whoever your next like wide receiver might be, Franklin, whoever it may be. I just don't think that's where they necessarily go. But I think when you've got a young quarterback like Love, who they seem to like a lot, do they help him out there? Am I talking myself out of this? I don't know. I feel like they need to do something at corner as well.
They're a hard one to try and pick out, I think.
Yeah, they're a tough one. I'm going Kool-Aid at 25. I think they need help at corner. I think he's a good. I think he's a good pick there. I think he's good value, and I think you can get other positions a little bit later, like they said. I don't think there's necessarily the value of some of these other positions that they necessarily like would need. So yeah, I'm going Kool-Aid at pick 25.
Like it. Bucks. They traded away Colton Davis, didn't they, for to the Detroit Lions. So I could see a strong possibility that again corner would be on the radar. So I'm gonna go Nate Wiggins out of Clemson.
I like that pick. Right, so on to 27 for the Cardinals. So they took Marvin Harrison at number 4. In another, you know, on Thursday night, that could be very different if they do trade down, and or some things look very different. But I mean, they could easily trade down and do a very similar thing at 6, couldn't they? If it's the Giants, you know, they could do.
100%.
It might not be Harrison necessarily, but you know, one of these other receivers, and then pick at 27. I think they've got a few needs, but edge is a big one, and yeah, Jared Verse seems like a pretty easy pick there at 27 for them.
Yeah, best player available probably there. It's got
Yeah.
to sometimes you see at the board where if a player does fall and there's people taking needs and there's like a clear best player in the end, someone
Yeah.
that doesn't necessarily need that position, would just go, he's too good to pass, and they take
Yeah.
best player. I think kind of mirrors in this regard. I don't know if Jared Verse will slide that far to 27, but I think that is definitely his floor going 27 to the Cardinals. I can't see him getting past them for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
28 Bills. I mean, they could really do with a wide receiver after trading Diggs away, and Gabe Davis has gone free agency as well, so they haven't really got anything. Problem obviously for them is the big five, I guess, are gone. But I've heard a lot of rumblings that the Bills really like Ladd McConkey. He's a name to keep an eye on for the Bills at 28. I think they brought him in twice. Well, they brought him in and they've definitely done some more due diligence. I don't think they met with him at the combine and that. So think that if you want like a pure route runner, and a guy that's just be able to give you everything on every down, I think that that's kind of the, I think you'd be a perfect player. So I'm going to go Ladd McConkey here at 28 for the Bills.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, they've it feels like an easy one, doesn't it, for them, wide receiver with sort of, Diggs going, doesn't it? But yeah, I mean, they've got to do something there. Yeah, it'd be a nice pickup for them. The Lions, I feel like they're in a sort of decent position to just sort of take the best player available, whoever that is at this stage. But I mean, they do have some needs still. Who do I go for here? I mean, oh, Cooper DeJean, I do sort of quite like him here. I think he's someone they could go for. Again, I mean, the only position I feel like they're not going is wide receiver. I feel like they got plenty there. Or at least plenty there that they'd only take one in the first round.
I think edge or corner is probably like maybe
Yeah, I
positions
think
that they
it's.
would probably go.
I feel like a corner. Yeah, corner. I think Cooper DeJean. I like him here.
I think he fits the mold of what they would want, right? They think
Yeah,
sort of
I like
like,
him here. I think it's good value at 29. It
yeah.
feels a need, and he is a good player as well at this stage. Yeah, I got to go Cooper DeJean.
This is a tough one for Baltimore, like the players that are off the board. I don't know. I think that obviously Baltimore always been best player available, and there's always someone that sort of falls in their lap, and you think, out of the Baltimore Ravens, just snag this guy. I think, if I'm honest, in this situation, I think that the way that the Baltimore Ravens play, with obviously that front three, I think Johnny Newton here would be a really, really good pick for the and I think that if you I know they've just paid Madueke, their third round guy, and they normally do look at getting these defensive linemen early on. So I think Zavavion Newton out of Illinois, I think is just probably the guy to probably take it for. I think in Baltimore's, I think he's just fallen in Baltimore's late. This player could be so good for us. So I think that would work quite well. Put him on the opposite side to him and then let them to run, cause havoc in the interior. I think that would be awesome for that team.
Yeah, that's a good pick. As you say, they're in a good place, and I mean, I think with the Ravens, I think wide receiver is always going to come up, but I just don't feel like they're that team to take one here. But I mean, I just don't know if a wide receiver for the Ravens is ever going to be a particularly valuable position. Just the way Lamar Jackson plays, it just I think some of these receivers they've had are being decent players are just in a bad situation. And it's not saying Jackson's bad. I just don't think he uses wide receivers very well, does he? So yeah. I think they're always going to be linked with one, but I just don't see them. I think that's a nice pick there. The 49ers, I mean, they're just a really good team all around, aren't they? So they could sort of go in a lot of different directions. I mean, what do you see as their biggest needs? I don't really know. They're sort of good sort of everywhere, aren't they, really? They're not a. There's not like an. Oh, yeah.
O-line or corner, I would say. Like, it depends on like what kind of maybe they're after. I know who I think Armstead left, didn't he, recently? So obviously defensive line. I mean, if Newton was there, maybe that was a possibility. But I
Yeah.
think like, O-line or corner would probably be probably, if I'm honest, it's probably the best player available in them positions anyway. So like,
Yeah.
would you just move off that in regards to that case?
Who's it gonna be? And there has been stuff about Ayuk as well, wasn't there? There has been like little rumors about him potentially moving, so maybe they are someone who could be in the market at the back end of this first round for one of these wide receivers left,
I
but
mean, if Ayuk left 100%, they'd be in the market for one. Yeah, I mean, if they
yeah.
got traded, they'd be 100% be in the market for
Well, and who knows, maybe he's the sort of
one.
player that could get traded on draft day, but it just doesn't feel like them sort of trades happen much, do they really? These players that you've for a while been rumored, they just because I remember the Patriots a couple of years ago with Gilmore, it seemed like a lot of sense for them to trade him on draft night, and nothing happens, and then a year later he's out, and they should have traded him a year before and stuff. Those sort of trades just don't happen. But I'm gonna take a wide receiver here. Who is my favorite of these left? I mean, Franklin's on them. I don't know, there's too many issues with Franklin. for me. I don't love him. Who I do like is Ricky Pearsall, though. A bit of a, a bit of an athlete, a bit of a, it feels like a 49ers player. You know what I mean? Like a bit of a wild card sort of player. And I think though one might be a bit soon for him, but I think they'd get a hell of a player and someone who could really fit at the 49ers. And I think I'd very much enjoy Ricky Pearsall going to the 49ers at pick 31.
Not a bad shout. Chiefs. Oh, I hate picking players for the Chiefs. Can I just pick the worst player in the draft and they can go 32? I mean, they're Super Bowl champs, so you can't really, there's not many too many holes in this team.
What's weird is they've probably got more holes than some of the teams we picked just before. You know, they've always got more holes than the 49ers and the Ravens, I think. And
I mean, in this scenario, I think they would probably take Tyler Guyton as a sort of like I still think they're going to take. I still think they're going to re-sign Donovan Smith, like off the, or back from last year. Obviously, he's not signed with anyone else yet, and I think there's like this talk that oh, he's just waiting at the moment. I think that it's a case of if a tackle falls in the Chiefs' lap, then they might take a tackle and then not sign him. But still, I just got a hunch they're going to just re-sign Donovan Smith. But I mean, in this case, Guyton there, I mean, with them attributes, like I think it would work quite well. And he's got all the athleticism to be able to help with the Mahomes scrambles, as shall we say. So I think that would probably be a good pick there for Guyton to go 32.
yeah, I like that there. I'd say they're a really good team. They're always going to be good. And yeah, I mean, they're just a bit of an interesting team, just with, like Kelce perhaps winding down. Like they're a team that's all, it's weird because they're champions, but they sort of feel like they're a team a little bit in transition, which it's a bit strange to say about the team that sort of won, about 400 Super Bowls in the last 3 years. But
Well, like you said,
it's
they've got a wide receiver that's getting charged at the moment, most likely. Kelsey's on his way down. They haven't got a left tackle. They traded Snead to the Titans, so there's need at corner. So there's so many ways they could go. And if I'm honest, they could be the team that takes the linebacker. Like that, like Willie Gay's gone, Bolton's in his last year of his contract, so they've got Drew Tranquill that they basically just brought in as a sort of in between guys, like a fringe sort of cup over a couple of years to like transition from one team to another. So they could really be in play for a linebacker. So like you said, it's weird that you can talk about so many needs is probably a big word, but ways they could go is probably the way that you would probably angle that for the Kansas City Chiefs.
They're not necessarily needs as in, like, when we talk about the Patriots or a team like, so these sweet teams that are there where their actual needs, like, we're fielding some like absolute bum off the street essentially. But the Chiefs have definitely got issues that need fixing, and as a Chargers fan, that must be nice to hear or think about.
Hopefully that stays the same.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Like we've
I
got
mean,
way more needs to fix the Chargers, but
yeah, but I don't know. Be all right, wouldn't they? When you've got a good quarterback, things always sort of solve
things
themselves in the
are
end.
not better. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, we finished that draft now. Is there anything that sort of stood out to you as we're going through there?
What how many like for the obviously we talked about the over-unders before, about 9.5 for tackles. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We've managed to get 8, so we'd say that would be the under for that. But I mean, it only takes a Martin and a Jackson Powers Johnson to go in, and you've got your 10. So it would be very close with that. But yeah, there's some. I think that if the board fell that way, I mean, I know we've talked about what the Vikings could do about moving up, but I mean, Quinion Mitchell and Penix is not a bad plan B in that regard. I really love the Graham Barton pick to Miami. I think that would be so good for them if that fell that way. Jared Verse again, getting that sort of player down at 27. Again, that would be a great scenario for them. So them picks are great high value, I think, for the teams in the 20s.
So I think for me it was the Vikings in particular. They're in a bit of a weird spot at both picks where they're sort of a little bit, they're picking a little bit late to get in there if they don't make a move. And I feel like look at like as we've gone through this, like you realize just how much of a sort of predicament they are in, and they sort of I guess that is what is adding to the rumors they could
Yeah,
move up, but
100%.
it's just how they move up. But as you just as you said in the if, like when we did the last podcast, it's hard for them to hard to see them really moving all the way to four.
Yeah.
But they always might have to if they don't like one of these next two guys, and they might almost be forced
Yeah.
into moving to four one way or
Yeah.
another. But it'll be interesting how that plays out. So I think in reality, I don't think there's maybe going to be as many wide receivers go as we've got here. We've got
I
what one,
think
two,
you'll
three.
definitely get five. I think you'll
Yeah, we've
definitely
got
get five. And I think it's
six.
the sixth will be Ladd McConkey if he goes in. I think
Eight.
that's probably where it stops. I think six is probably your.
Yeah, well, we're up to about eight or nine here, I think.
Think
I think wide
not.
receivers are an easy pick when you're doing these. I'm not sure. Throw a wide receiver in there, isn't it? But
Yeah.
yeah, I think that's the thing that stands to me that maybe teams go other ways, just because as we've just mentioned so many times, there's so much depth at the position that I think we will see
Yeah.
them fall.
Well, obviously, if they're sometimes, like you said, though, if they're the best player available, it's like,
Yeah.
why would you really want to take a really bad or not like a corner that's like really not as good as him? I know that maybe if it's a need, it's different. But if you're just looking at it as like we've kind of like not really got too many holes, does it really matter where we go with this pick? That you could see these players like wide receivers, tackles, and corners go off the board for teams that don't really need them positions just because
Yeah.
the depth of them positions are so good.
Well, I think wide receiver as well. Last year, I think we had a lot of players that were of a similar mold. This year, it feels like we've got a lot more variety in the type of players out there. So
100%. Yeah.
I think there's somebody for every team probably
Yeah.
could take.
Yeah.
So, but yeah,
Now, if you
last
need
year
a
it felt
big
like
X,
you
yeah,
had
if you need
what
a big
Quinton Johnson
X,
and then like a load of
100%.
like other smaller fast guys. So yeah, it
Yeah.
was yeah, this year's a very interesting one. But maybe we'll have to
Yeah.
do another one of these on like Wednesday night or something, like our final mock draft or something. We'll work it out.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we could involve trades in this one, maybe if we
Yeah.
could hear a bit more news
Yeah.
and see what's going on. But yeah, for sure, it's going to be a great draft no matter what.
Right. Well, that wraps us up, I think, for this one. We're still going to be doing some more stuff. We'll work out between now and, well, tomorrow. This will actually be when it goes out, but recording this a little bit before that. But where can people find more from you, Ash?
I'm on X or Twitter at Tilza999, so we'll have loads of draft content and stuff but, over the course of this week and onto the weekend for all the sleeper picks and stuff. And anyone wants to shoot and ask me questions about this player and that, obviously done a little bit of research on some deeper prospects, probably not as much as Dan Brugler of the Beast, but I think there's like 400 or 400 prospects or something. They've deep dive, but I mean, we'll know a few bits and pieces. So you're always welcome to hit me up if you need want to chat about any of these prospects and going forward into the NFL season.
Oh yeah, we haven't done that many, but I think but we've done these. You've covered a good number. I should go back and like try and work out how many you've actually spoken about on these podcasts.
I reckon I've probably scoured about 150. Like for me, that's quite a lot with two kids. So,
Yeah, and an actual job, like you know, it's yeah.
I do enjoy the process of it, and obviously you do learn more about tendencies for what teams like to do and what they prefer, and also just the prospects coming in. Because like, not always. I mean, there is a good bulk of players in the NFL that are round one prospects and round two prospects, but there is some really good where you do dive into some of these ones, and I don't like just look at them for any reason. Like I'll listen to other people talk about them, and then I'll go and research particular players when they've waxed lyrical, shall we say, that about these prospects. So even if they're day three prospects, so you watch some podcasts and listen to some reviews, and they say, oh, this sleeper prospect's really good, then you go and review and you look at the tape on that guy rather than just start watching the tape on random guys. I think that's quite hard to do. So normally that's how I sort of do it. I kind of watch like a top 50 and then I just sort of look into other people's views about who they really like on day threes and stuff like that, and then I'll start scouting those guys. So sometimes you miss guys out, but there's no way you've got enough time. Most people haven't got enough time to scout the amount of prospects that some other people do.
Yeah, but you say done a hell of a lot, and yeah, I mean, thanks for all your work on it for this podcast, because
I really
it makes a hell of a
enjoyed
lot.
it.
Yeah. But say, make sure you go back and listen to some of them. Say the wide receiver episode we did, I can't remember how many it was in the end, but about 25 or so different receivers, I
25.
think.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've done breakdown the quarterbacks, the running backs, the tight ends, and then obviously this week we've done pretty much all the other positions in a bit of a speed version. But yeah, some of them other ones went a bit more in depth on. So especially wide receiver, because with the amount of wide receivers out there, your team is almost definitely going to take one. Whoever your team is, you're probably going to take a wide receiver this year. There's
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of good ones.
I would probably say that there will be, I think every team, near enough every team will come away with a wide receiver in this draft because there is that many good ones that in the end you just think if you can get into round five and round six and still get the quality of wide receivers that are coming off the board. I mean, you're talking about like off the top of my head, Jermaine Burton. I know there's some a lot of off-field issues and stuff, but if you go and watch the tape on that dude, it is incredible. Like he is so good. And I think that he's going to be round three or round four. And I'm talking about a guy that if you look at reception perception from Matt Harmon, that's like round one caliber route running skills he's got. Like, so it's just crazy how deep that's going to fall. And then you said you've got a lot of slot guys and stuff like that that will go later on day three, but it's nothing to take away from the ability that them guys have as well. It's just that you're like you said, there's so many mix and matches of different wide receivers that there's you got your big X's and your slots and your Y's and stuff. So you got your flankers. So there's loads of positions there for wide receiver. And it's going to be so good to see where all these fantasy relevant wide receivers go as well.
Yeah, for sure. And we're definitely going to do some fantasy stuff before the draft and probably after, because we'll have, well, all the first and 10 rookie drafts start on Monday. You must have a few picks again this year, Ash. I mean, you normally accumulate about 58 first round picks somehow in
I
one of
think,
our leagues, which
yeah,
you're
I've
basically
got a
unbeaten in about
few.
4 years, aren't you?
I think I've won two unbeaten. I've had out of 4 seasons, I've won two, but over them 2 years, I didn't lose a game in two of them years. So
Yeah, one of the most dominant fantasy teams I've ever seen. And I think it was all just built on like trading back in the startup
it
to
was
get loads of
trading
rookie
back
picks.
in the initial draft. That's all it was. Yeah, just trading
Yeah.
back, getting picks in the first draft, and then the first year. I don't think I made the playoffs in the first year. And then the second year, I won. Third year, I lost in the final. And then fourth, last year, I won again. So, yeah, it's a long rebuilding process. But if you can do it that way, that's the way to do it in the fantasy startups for sure.
You have a dynasty, really, isn't it? Your fantasy team then.
Yeah, I'm going for the Chiefs dynasty or the Patriots
Yeah.
dynasty or whatever it's going for. Yeah, I mean, if I can do back-to-back seasons undefeated, I mean, you're talking Man City equivalent. That is in
Yeah,
the
definitely is. Plenty of people out there to stop you, but yeah. So,
dribble.
but yeah, all the fantasy drafts start up next week. So if you're in our leagues, make sure you're aware of that and where you're picking, because we are quite cutthroat. If you don't make your pick, then you're sort of booted out. Because all we ask is people be active in them leagues, but it doesn't happen too often. But just so you know, if you're listening and you're not active on there, or one of these people say you don't get notifications, make sure you're checking in, because they all start Monday morning. And yeah, make sure you make your picks. But thank you very much, Ash, and we will be back tomorrow probably with something or other. We will work it out anyway, whatever we're going to do. But yeah, thank you very much, and we will see you next time.